We do have Pride School's founder, Christian Zilovitz, with us in the studio right now. And Tasneem's story was about how the school might create a safe space for students. And I think a lot of people have heard over the years about the problems that LGBT students face. But what about teachers? Is that really part of the goal of the Pride School as well?
Absolutely. And thanks for having me today. It's really fun to be here. As a queer identified transgender educator, I'd say yes. One of the our school is really threefold. It's aimed at a safe place for LGBTQ and intersex identified educators to work, for parents in the queer and trans community to bring their kids, and for students who might happen to identify as LGBT or sometimes are just perceived as LGBT and or as gender nonconforming most of all and want a safe place to go. And,
Someone might say, look, students, because they're exploring who they are, they're at that age, very often will come along and identify. But a teacher who's an adult who may have already learned who he or she is it as dangerous for an LGBT teacher in some situations because they may not have to, whether gay or straight, really say much to students about who they are, just teach them? What would you say to somebody who says that?
Well, I think most of all, when you go to most classrooms, teachers are often talking about, well, when I was with my husband and my kids this weekend, this is what we did. Or my wife and I went to the Virgin Islands over the weekend, or we went to Georgia, and these are my, you know, this is what we did with my kids. And a lot of us who identify as lesbian, gay, or trans especially keep that stuff out of the classroom. And I think there's this culture that if you have a same-sex partner, you consider that an outside issue in the classroom. However, if you have an opposite-sex partner, it's something you talk about all the time. I know when I was a straight-identified teacher years ago, I talked all the time about my boyfriend, my fiancé, and the fact that I was getting married. But when I came out, I was really quiet about it. And that was even in Seattle, where it's a lot more accepting.
You are a trans man, and you faced some challenges earlier in your career, and I understand that one of your students outed you once. What was that like for you at that moment?
Oh, my God, it was so scary. I had just gone back to work after coming on the other side of transition. It had been about 2 years since I'd been in the classroom, and I was in a new school on the other side of the valley in Seattle, and one of our students was misbehaving, and I knew who he was, and he didn't know who I was necessarily. And I sat down next to him and reminded him to behave, and it was that the boss's wife was there for career day. And he realized who I was, and he said to his friend, oh, my God, this is Ms. Z, my old math teacher. And his friend turned to him and said, dude, that's a guy. And he said, what, did she have a sex change? And I heard the whole conversation, and I about died right there. And nobody else heard the conversation, but I about panicked, and I ran to find my wife, who was in the building for career day, and I just didn't know what was going to happen. You know, as a kind of 5'8", skinny white guy, I'm afraid I'm going to get beat up in a school of 2,000 kids who I don't know how they're going to react. It was a really diverse student body. This kid was tall and really a wild card, and nothing came of it. And that was the interesting part for me, is that you don't know who your allies are until you talk to them. And that's true for students, and it's true for the staff too. And I don't know, he might have a trans family member, but nothing ever came of it. So it was really interesting.
Let's talk about here in Georgia, Christian, because
sure.
I imagine also that you are looking for the same allegiance, the same allies to help with the opening of this school. So that's question one. And then I want to talk about, you know, the accreditation process. Are you going through that process? So we'll first talk about the allegiance and how that will help the school, and then actually the school.
Well, the great part is that by choosing to out myself as a queer identified trans man who's seeking to start my dream school, I made a conscious choice to possibly have career suicide in the public schools, because a lot of people don't necessarily want to hire an out trans person in Georgia. There's a few school districts that might, but many of them will not. And it's been awesome because people are, educators especially, are looking for someone to lean back into and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing this. I want to come work for you. I've had at least 50 LGBT-identified educators especially, and many in the straight and non-trans community, reach out to us and say, what can I do to help? So there's been a lot of support there. And people, teachers who want to be out on the job and not have to hedge when they relate to students. And they're kind of sick of it.
Let's talk about the school, because if sure. you're a parent listening or anyone listening that that cares about education, the first question is will you seek the accreditation process? What will be the education model for this school?
Well, we're not seeking accreditation in Georgia, because in the Georgia accreditation models, you have to have standard classes, submit for students to take the state standardized tests, arrange everything according to the core standards, have first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and so on. However, we're using what's called a free school model, a democratic free school model patterned after the Summerhill School in England, and also the Brooklyn Free School and Albany Free School that followed suit after that, similar to the Sudbury model, like the Sudbury School of Atlanta. And there's not a lot of them out there, but it doesn't fit that accreditation model. And what I've found is that most of all, parents are worried about changing high schools, and that's where the accreditation fits in. However, students who stay with us all the way, say, from 9th to 12th grade, can get a diploma from us, and our diplomas will have more meaning because it won't just be A's, B's, C's, and D's.
Well, because colleges require that, you know, incoming students have a high school diploma from an accredited high school. Do you see that being a problem?
I don't think it's going to be a problem, actually. And there's other ways to get accredited, but as far as seeking it from Georgia right now, it's a different model.
Let's talk about the student body for a moment. Obviously, this is primarily for LGBT students who need a safe place. But very often these days, family life is a lot more complicated.
Yes.
So you may have students who self-identify as straight who come from a family where one or more of the parents is an LGBT person. So
yes.
Is the student body that you're looking for just kids who self-identify as LGBT?
Absolutely not. And I'm so glad you asked that question, because that's one of the things we really want to clarify, is that we are not the gay kids school. And I think Harvey Milk High School has often been seen, and the other one they tried to start in Chicago is the gay kids school, and they shut it down as segregation. They said this is a separate school. But Pride School Atlanta is an entire community. And to the way I liken it is, you get to go to Pride or go to these family weeks once a year. Here, you'll get to do it every day. So we'll have, the whole family is welcome here. Straight identified, queer identified, trans identified, however, whoever you are,
so even
is
if
welcome
you're a
at our
straight
school.
Kid with,
from a straight
with two
family
straight parents?
Who happen to have absolutely no gay or lesbian or trans people in your entire family, you are welcome here. It's a democratic free school model, and if our model works for you, you are welcome. And you just need to know this is a queer affirming space. So that it's a queer and trans affirming space, so that you might hear pronouns that you're not used to. You might see boys wearing dresses. You might see people in drag. I'm not sure, but everybody's welcome in our school. And so, like we said, we might have queer families who have a multiple variety of kids. And a lot of times it's kids from queer and trans families who are harassed even more than LGBT identified youth, because it's quieter. People don't talk about kids from lesbian families, you know, and kids have to choose whether or not to out their parents. And they have to, you know, my kids have their own special story. And so my daughter outed me on the playground after I told her I was having a hysterectomy 5 minutes onto the playground. Guess what? My dad's having his uterus out. And I stopped her mid-sentence. And that told me Pride School really needed to happen, because my kid, it should be okay for my kid to go on the playground and say, my dad's having, you know, my dad used to be a girl, you know, and not have the whole school erupt. Or my moms are getting married. My dads are getting married.
Let's talk about just the concept of the school here, because we all know that when you're in school, there's other things besides just what's coming out of the books, the textbooks.
Yes.
You know, you have the extracurricular activities. You may have orchestra or choral or, you know, basketball and all those other activities that make the whole school experience fun. Will Pride School Atlanta be able to offer that to the students as well?
You know, as a startup school, even if we have 8 to 15 students, of course, any tiny little school when it starts out won't have a lot of extracurricular activities. I mean, we can't necessarily field a football team with 8 students, but we could probably do all kinds of other things. We have several people who are looking to do physical education for us. We have yoga coming to our school. We have so many people in the arts, especially, who are surrounding us. We're even possibly looking to go by the art station.
How are you going to pay for all this?
Well, you know, most private schools operate on tuition, and ours is a private school. It's an independent nonprofit. I had no desire to be tied to DeKalb County or to the Atlanta Public Schools or Fulton County because I don't believe in what they're doing. So, you know, and we've got all the press we've gotten. It's starting to bring donations in. So we're doing a lot of fundraising. We're nonprofit.
Because with all the expenses, obviously, even from just health care, I'm assuming you're offering health care to the faculty and staff as well. The upkeep, maintenance, all that. Did you think maybe now's not the time? Maybe I need to do a little bit more research, make sure I have everything in line. You feel confident that opening this school in the fall, you have everything in order and you're going to be ready to go?
Is everything in order? Everything's never in order. It's kind of like they say, are all your ducks in a row? Well, they're not my ducks.
But you're going to be educating kids, so
absolutely.
Parents want you to have as many ducks in a row as possible.
Absolutely. We are, you know, it's only March, and we are very close to having a solid space. We have a yes from Rock Spring Presbyterian, and we have a maybe from the art station out in Stone Mountain. So everything we're doing is leading into that. And we have a great parent information meeting on Friday night to keep parents updated at the Philip Rush Center at 6 o'clock on Friday night.
We're real short of time here, but just to wrap up, I'm going to piggyback off of Rose's question here. How will you ultimately measure the academic success of your students? Because that's what it's all about. If you don't have the kinds of mileposts, if you will, that are part of certification, how are you going to measure success? And how will the kids be able to measure success and then move on in the world?
Well, I think if you, as you start to expose yourself to the free school models out there, you start to realize that not everything comes with a letter grade. And actually, I truly believe in this model, in that there's more success to be had in holding my information in my hands and seeing my portfolio that shows all the work I've done. And when kids read and write and do math and they do all kinds of work in the arts and the sciences, having the actual work instead of a little transcript piece of paper that shows A's, B's, C's, and D's is a lot more meaningful. And by when they go out in the world, they show that they've actually done better than most average public school students.
I don't think we have enough time, but I want to ask you about Common Core. That seems to be just either you're for it or you're against it. How will you make sure that you also have certain curriculum? And I know it's, Common Core is not a curriculum, but how will you make sure, go about to make sure you have the curriculum and any other standards available for those students?
Well, everything will be available to the students and even more. And I think the core, I firmly believe that the core standards are a baseline. And some of it's really intense. But our teachers, especially when you work with the younger kids, there will be a lot more structure in place for the younger students. And as they grow, they will have less structure.
And also, will this Pride School also be able to help special needs kids or kids that might have physical challenges?
Well, that's our goal. And as a beginning school, we may not be able to serve all students, but we have several special ed educators, very seasoned special ed educators on board. And that was the number one thing I saw when I worked in another private school, is that if we're going to bring in kids who have needs, we have to have the staff, and the staff are there, which is great.
And English as a second language as well?
I hope so. I hope so. We have several who speak Spanish fluently. We also have an ASL interpreter. We have all kinds of folks around us that have all kinds of skills. And just this morning when the story aired, we had probably 7 more educators emailed me right after the story aired.
Christian Zilovitz is the founder of Pride School Atlanta, which is scheduled to launch in August of this year. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you.